Amen. Mark chapter 5. Amen. And when the ship was passed over, verse 21, again by ship the other side, when Jesus was passed over again by ship the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one ruler of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Amen. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Amen. Rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? Amen. His disciples said to him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? He looked around about to see her that had done this thing. What had she done? She had touched him in a way that was different than all that crowd. Hallelujah. Amen. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Amen. Behold, a fire plague. Who touched my clothes? Who touched me? Amen. A thronging mob following Jesus. And he says, Who touched me? That's what I'd like to talk about for a little while. Many followed him. For many, many different reasons. One reason the crowd followed him was because it seemed that he was going with purpose of heart to do something for Jairus' daughter. And so they were following along to get in on the next miracle, praise God. And the unexpected happened as they jostled against one another and jostled against Jesus, and the thronging mob walked and stumbled along, pressing, so tightly against one another that they're almost trampling one another. Amen. A little woman presses through the crowd and says, If I can just touch the hem of his garment. And when she does, Jesus turns around in all that mob and says, Who touched me? And the disciples almost scornfully said, In this mob you say, Who touched thee? A multitude thronging thee, and you say, Who touched me? Amen. And he looked around and he saw her. The wonderful thing about touching Jesus is the woman knew that she had touched Jesus, and Jesus knew that she had touched Jesus. You get those two together, you've got the makings of a miracle every time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, why do we follow Jesus tonight? Why do we go to church? Why are we here? Amen. Amen. There are many reasons. Some came out of need. Praise God. Some came because you want to be faithful to God. Some came because that's the thing to do. For different reasons we followed you. Some came because a friend came and invited us to go with him. And some came and we don't quite understand why we came. But nevertheless, we're here. Amen. Praise God. How do we follow along with Jesus tonight? Amen. What does heaven discover about us tonight? Praise God. I'll tell you what touches Jesus, among other things. Faith touches Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. She had faith. Hallelujah. The need was there, and with the need, such a great need, a need that is so great that she has exhausted every resource. And there's no rebuke to her anywhere in the context, not one, that she's exhausted every resource. There's no rebuke that she went to the physicians. There's even no rebuke to the physicians. Nobody wanted to fail. Amen. But she suffered many things of the physician. She did the best she could. She did the best she knew. And now the need is more pressing than ever before. It is more paramount than ever before. There's the need. And now we need the faith. And she heard about Jesus. Praise God. And that's all it took. She put the two together, her need and the fact that Jesus was passing by. And she said, if I can but touch, praise God. She decided on a plan of action. You know, if you really got a need and you really want help and you really got faith, you'll act. If you got a need and you got faith, you'll act like it. If you got a need and you got faith, you'll act accordingly. Praise God. Her need and her faith drove her to the right place this time. She knew it wasn't any use in going back to those doctors. Amen. She knew there wasn't any use in spending any more money anywhere else. Her need was greater than ever before. And with the last ounce of her strength, amen, she presses her way through the crowd, saying to herself, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, if I can but touch some part of his clothes, Brother Glenn Rice penned, amen, years ago, I know I'd be healed. My sins all forgiven. If I could but touch him, I know I'd be whole. Hallelujah. Amen. I'd like to touch Jesus in some way one more time tonight. What touches him? What touches him? Amen. The Bible says he can still be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Hebrews, amen, says we can even come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Hallelujah. We can touch Jesus. Praise God. Glory to God. Amen. My dad had already gone to work. The only car in the family was gone. And my mom, way up toward midnight, was tossing and turning in agony and pain from one side of the bed to the other. And she said, son, go get my brother. Amen. And I went a half a mile down the hill and across the creek and up the way to Uncle Orden's house, who had bought Cleve Waits' farm just a half mile from us. Amen. And Orton didn't have a car neither. Amen. And so I went to get Orton, her brother, next to her. And on the way down, I noticed that the moon was in the eclipse. Amen. And I got to see the moon in the eclipse. The moon was turning dark that night. And I called on God. I was a new Christian. And I called on God and asked him to help. The only car in the family gone. And Uncle Orton didn't even have a car. Amen. He owned the farm, but he didn't have a car. Had a wagon team, but he didn't have a car. Amen. So I'm walking down that gravel road praying. I was about 15 years old, 16, somewhere thereabouts, early 16 or 15. Amen. Long about then, and the moon was in full eclipse, and I prayed. We didn't have no way to get to town even after I went to get Uncle Orton. Amen. And no way to get any help of any kind. My dad took the car, went to work on Frisco Railroad, 7 miles into Thayer, Missouri. Amen. And here we are out in the country, and Mama's tossing and turning from one side of the bed to the other in pain and agony. Amen. And here come a Model A Ford down the road. Chug, 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 chug. Amen. I never was so glad to see a Model A Ford in my life. Amen. And here comes D.L. Parnell. Amen. And he stopped as me and Uncle Orton walked along to pick us up. And we told him our predicament. And he took us into town. Amen. And he said, I didn't intend to come this way, but I just decided to cut through the country. He'd have had just about time to have drove the cut through off Highway 63 and through the country, amen, and to get to where we was about the time I walked all the way to my uncle's house and got back to Big Creek Bridge, where he picked us up and took us into town to get the doctor. Hey, the Lord hears and answers if we call on him. Amen. I know why he cut through the country. It was an answer to prayer. Amen. I couldn't save Mama, but I could get her a doctor. I couldn't make her live right, but I could get her a doctor and do what I could. And so we did what we could. Amen. God hears and answers prayer. Hallelujah. He's still touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Amen. Our infirmities touch him if we take them to him. Our faith touches him if we'll just make confession of faith. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, that established a point where her faith would be loosed. Amen. And victory would be wrought. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the poor in spirit. Luke said, blessed are ye poor. Amen. We got to realize our need before we can press our way to him. We've got to be poor in spirit and realize our bankruptcy and our utter need before we'll make the effort to get a hold of God. Amen. But if we're self-satisfied and we're self-confident and we got too much pride to admit our need, huh? Or too stubborn to admit our need, amen. That's why this was a woman instead of a man. If it had been a man, he'd have never made it that far. They're usually a little bit too stubborn, amen. But she said, if I can just, I mean, this woman humbled herself down. Amen. And she got down and she pressed her way through, praise God, and she made it to the Lord and reached out and like lightning. Amen. I put a fuse in that air condition for that side a while ago. We put one in the other day and I noticed just before church it was blowed again. I thought we had it fixed. Amen. And so I stuck another fuse out there just for church, or when we fixed it just for church. I went out and put that other fuse in and plugged her in, and the fan started turning, and it went pow! Blowed up right there. Amen. All the Freon went out of it right there. Amen. Just before, we started the prayer service tonight. Amen. It blew up. We found out the reason why the fuse was blowed. Amen. Just 5 minutes before church tonight. Amen. There's something else wrong that we didn't discover. Amen. Sometimes when I touch things, they blow up. Amen. But when our faith touches Jesus and Jesus touches us, the only thing that blows up is the devil's plans. Amen. Glory to God. The devil's plans go kapow. All the air goes out of the devil's plans. Praise God. Come. We touch God. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He said we could come boldly to the throne of grace. You think we can? Boldly to the throne of grace? Because he's a great high priest. That doesn't mean a lack of humility. Amen. That means, praise God, that we can come with boldness and assurance. Amen. That he's going to help us because he's a high priest that can be touched with a feeling of our infirmities. Hallelujah. We can square our shoulders and, glory to God, dry our tears or even cry some more if we have to. Praise God. But we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Who touched me? So many afflicted. So many in trouble. So many in need. Some of them are little innocent children. Amen. I need a touch of God. Hallelujah. Oh, the need is all around us. Praise God. Will anybody touch Jesus? Will anybody know that he's here? Will anybody avail themselves of this marvelous opportunity? Amen. And come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly to this great high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Amen. Paul came boldly, and he said in fasting and prayer and deep contrition, oh Lord, remove this thorn. And God spoke to him and said, my grace is sufficient for thee. The second time in fasting and prayer, amen, and deep contrition and heart searching, praise God. He sought God and fasted and prayed until he got through to God. Amen. And he said, as God said, what do you want, Paul? He said, my thorn. I want my thorn taken away. Amen. And God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. The third time, after some time of wrestling with this thorn, amen, he fasts and prays and seeks God. And Paul knew how to get hold of God. Now, don't you let no charismatic tell you that Paul didn't have faith. Amen. I was driving down the road with a friend of mine the other day. Not the other day, 15, 20 years ago. Amen. That's the other day, I guess, in the eternal things. But anyway, it was a good while back, and we was talking about Brother Branham and how things went with Brother Branham, and how that after he died, they started churches where they came together and just listened to Brother Branham's tapes, and how Brother Branham got into false doctrine. I was riding down the road with my friend who had became a Branhamite, and I'd kept him straight all those years. I rode around the country with him, took him to revivals. I'd head him off when he'd get on tangents. I'd let him talk until he talked himself in the corner, and then I'd just say one word or make one statement, and suddenly he was straightened out again. Amen. But then I left to go into all the world to preach the gospel. He became a full-fledged Branhamite, rebaptized in Jesus' name and everything. Amen. Going to the Branhamite churches, they all moved up in the hills because Brother Branham had prophesied that Los Angeles was going to slide into the sea, and they interpreted to mean all low-lying areas was going to be inundated. And so they moved out of the Mississippi, Black River bottoms, up to Mammoth Springs and Thayer, Missouri, in the hills where the high waters couldn't get to them, and started churches. They'd drive in front of my dad's house by the dozens, going out to a country church out there. Amen. And my friend was among them. Amen. I'd run down the road discussing things like that with my friend, and I said, we all appreciated Brother Branham's ministry, but he wasn't greater than Peter and Paul. And just as serious as a heart attack, he said, yes, he was too. Amen. Oh, boy. I mean, we got so far along today, we've got a man in our time that they think was greater than Peter the Apostle and greater than Paul. I mean, shot through with false doctrine and a lack of revelation. Amen. That caused a lot of people, you know, to come down from their, amen, high perch that they was on. Amen. Why does God allow men to drift into error like that? Why does God allow great men to have such blind spots? So we won't worship them. So we won't tie our religion to some man's coattail like they did. Now they're split hundreds of different ways, can't get along, can't agree on what Brother Branham taught. Amen. They got to call Brother Billy Paul Branham, Brother Branham's son, in every once in a while to interpret what Brother Branham meant when he said what he said. Billy Paul's been divorced and remarried 3 times. Amen. And they didn't even believe to start with that a preacher could have 3 wives and still preach. But they'd call in Billy Paul to interpret Brother Branham's preachings. Amen. Don't you let nobody tell you that there's anybody in this world today that's ahead of Peter and Paul and James and John and Matthew and Luke, amen, and Mark in their revelation of the New Testament. There ain't no such animal. Amen. The best we can do is get good and fill with the Holy Ghost, that's the author of the Word of God, and stay in the book. Praise God, till the faith of God possesses our souls, and lay hold on God. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul sought the Lord the 3rd time, and he knew how to get hold of God, and he fasted and he prayed. Amen. And when he got through to where he could talk to him, he said, what would you have, Paul? And he said, I like for my thorn to be took away. Amen. You ever had any? You ever had any? Huh? Amen. They'll most likely stay. You say, so-and-so is a thorn in my flesh. You probably need them. Amen. And don't look at your wife or your husband neither tonight. Amen. Bless your heart. Amen. Some of you, it may be your children. Some of you, amen, it may be that preacher. Some of you, it may be some situation that you're continually plagued in life with. I don't know what it is. Amen. But you probably need it, at least for a little while. Amen. And God said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. He answered him all 3 times with grace. Woo, hallelujah. You say, Paul didn't get his act. Yes, he did. It's better to have the thorn and have God's grace than not to have the thorn and not to have the grace. How many of you ever went through something real tough? I have. And God gave you such grace going through it that after you got through the storm, you missed the grace that God gave you going through the trial. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Needs everywhere. Lives everywhere. Can we touch him? Yes. You can still touch Jesus. Your tears touches Jesus. Your broken heart touches Jesus. Praise God. Your poverty of spirit touches Jesus. Amen. Your mourning touches Jesus. For he said, blessed are they that mourn. All the world, much of the world, is crying tonight. Thank God for it. Because Jesus said, blessed. That word blessed means happy are they that mourn. I felt like crying today. I felt like crying yesterday. Amen. I did wipe away a few tears driving down the road. Praise God. I wiped away a few tears sitting in my lazy boy. Amen. Meditating and reading the Word of God. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God we can still cry. Amen. Brother Vince told about going to see an old preacher down in Arkansas. Amen. If I called his name, a lot of people get these tapes and know that very preacher. Amen. Vince told me about it as he sat in my living room down in Barberville, Kentucky. Amen. He said he had contracted some disease while he's in the armed services that caused his nose to swell as big as the rest of his head. Amen. And terrible disease. I don't know what kind of disease they call it, but some kind of jungle disease. Amen. And the brother was trusting God. The holiest preacher didn't believe in going to the doctors at all. The best people in the world came to pray for him. Vince Wilson, who knew how to pray and get a hold of God and had fasted and prayed until God healed him of trench mouth. Praise God, when Vince Wilson got healed of trench mouth, he felt like he could shake the world for God. Amen, just bring me. Amen, came to Granite City to pray for Ralph Cook's first wife, dying with cancer. Praise God, anxious for the fight because God had given him the victory. But Sister Cook didn't get healed. And he said, as I looked at that old preacher down in Arkansas, in the shape he's in, he said, I said to myself, why can't I cry? And amen, sometimes we're so frustrated by the stark reality and shock of the problems that stare us straight in the face that we just stare off into space. Amen. And our actions are paralyzed for the moment. Paralysis sets in. We can't cry. We can't get up and run to the rescue. We can't do anything but sit and wonder. But if we can cry, if we can cry out to God, God can help us. Amen. And when all else falls short, we'll hear a still, small voice saying through the ether waves, my grace is sufficient for thee. Stand with me tonight as they sing, and let's come to this altar, and let's claim God for all he's worth. Let's get on our knees, and let's claim the blessing for all he's promised. Hallelujah.